Fred Film Radio.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is director Wissam Tanios, who is presenting his new documentary, We Are From There, at this year's Cairo International Film Festival. Wissam, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
So where are you calling from at the moment?
I'm calling you from my bedroom in Beirut.
Okay, Lebanon. Excellent. So unfortunately, you're not in Cairo right now.
I'm going to Cairo in a few days.
Oh, okay. So you will be going to Cairo.
In 2 days. Yeah.
So I usually go to Cairo myself, but obviously due to circumstances, I figured it would be best not to go this year, unfortunately, but it's great to connect
with
you. Yes, it's great to connect with you. We will be talking about the film that you're presenting, We Are From There. Before we begin to talk about it, because this is the first time we talk, I like to find out a little bit about the people who I speak with on this show, especially if it's the first time. So I'm going to start off with a little bit of an icebreaker question, and feel free to answer it in whatever way you like. But when did you become interested in filmmaking? Do you remember becoming interested from an early age?
Yeah, actually, I don't remember a specific date about my interest about filmmaking. But I remember like the first image that comes to my mind regarding filmmaking is that I used to watch Egyptian old films with my sister. With my older sister, so she used to put these black and white films that were broadcasted, like maybe 20 years ago. I was a young kid, and she used to. This was like a routine. She used to clean the house when mom was at work, and then right after it's movie time, we put a movie around the afternoon. It's black and white, and those Egyptian movies, and we watched the Egyptian divas. And this is the first image that comes to mind when I speak of films and filmmaking. But since I was a kid, I always wanted to do that. Just I was impressed by acting, by filmmaking, by this industry. How I had a curiosity about actors' lives, about filmmakers, about the camera. And actually, like I grew up also with a camera because my uncle, I'm half Syrian and half Lebanese. I was born to a Syrian mother and a Lebanese father. So when I used to go to Syria to my grandparents' house in Damascus, my uncle used to follow us everywhere with he had this VHS camera, and he used to film us wherever we go, wherever we do. So since we were really young, my cousins and I, so I don't remember a specific date of that, but I grew up with all this around me.
And so that's interesting, a mix of old Egyptian movies and your uncle and his camcorder. And what is it? Do you feel that somehow that also prompted you to work within the documentary form, your uncle? Because in a sense, he too was making his own little documentary.
Yeah. We didn't know back then, actually, because sometimes he was very pushy. He would follow us everywhere. And even like after he records the footage, he used sometimes to watch them. And he would call us like, come watch what I filmed. And nobody would care to watch because we were kids and we wanted to play and we didn't care about the camera. But growing up, like when I first like speak of my childhood, this is what comes to mind. Like this camera and the VHS and this footage and the summer days I used to spend in Damascus with my cousins. So yeah, he was a born filmmaker, but he didn't know. But we didn't know back then.
Yeah, but what's interesting is the link between you know, your uncle's home movies and your film, because in this film, We Are From There, you film your family story, your relative stories, your cousins. Maybe would you be able to sort of introduce it a little more for our listeners who may not be familiar with your film yet?
Yes, of course. We Are From There is the story of my two cousins. I followed them for 5 years. I filmed them moving from a country to another while I'm exploring the true meaning of home, bringing back some childhood memories and like exploring how a human being can cope with a radical change. How we adapt? What do we? What do we become? What kind of humans do we become? Because this is a radical change in somebody's life.
So first of all, I wanted to ask you a question that may seem a bit naive, but nevertheless may help many of us who are unfamiliar with the culture and the situation in Syria, being from maybe other parts of the world. But is this a common thing for young people to migrate in such a way, and why is it that they decide to leave?
Actually, they decided to leave because they wanted, as one of the characters says it in the film, he wants to dream elsewhere. He wants, like, for me, how I read it is that they want to exist somewhere else, because the main reason that at first they escaped to Lebanon because they wanted to escape the military service. But the characters in the films, they are not characters. They are their social class. They're not medium social class. So they weren't like going to look for a financial better life. But they wanted to exist somewhere else. They wanted to dream. So this is why they went elsewhere, because they weren't happy where they are living, and there's a war in Syria. But the politics and the war is not tackled in the film, because I'm telling you a background story of the character about the characters. So it's not, the war is not in the film, but we feel it. It's subtle. But I didn't want to make film about politics or about war. I want to work on this triangle between me and my two cousins.
And I like what you said, that they wanted to exist somewhere else. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah, this is what they wanted to, because sometimes you're somewhere and you don't feel that you're comfortable where you are, and you just want, or sometimes the place where you were born, it doesn't look like what you thought it was. So, you know, like the countries change, people change, everything around you change. So once you feel that what's around you you don't fit there, then you're not a tree, you can move. So this is what happens with these two cousins. They didn't decide to do that. It wasn't that easy. It was very hard, and because they went in an illegal way. It's not like they issued a ticket and they went there.
Have you ever thought of leaving? Did you identify with their decision?
Yeah, I always had this decision, and I always had this thought in my mind, and making this film like awakened a lot of feelings and a lot of thoughts regarding like my personal life. And it's true that the film is the story of my two cousins, but in a second layer, it's my story, it's my thoughts, and it's my feelings translated in how I filmed my two cousins. Because these two characters, they are brothers, they were raised in the same house, but they are very different. They have two contrasted personalities in everything they do, in everything, in how they feel. So it's my story as much as it is theirs.
It's interesting that you mentioned that they have two different personalities. Do you feel that helps provide a wider representation on this topic of immigration?
Yeah, I personally find it like a very rich layer that these two brothers are very different, although they were raised in the same place with the same parents. But sometimes like we want different things. They even like because I had this question, because they both moved in different timelines, not together, and they don't live in the same country, and they don't want to. And I had a lot of questions, like this question I had a lot in festivals, and even when I was pitching the film in post-production platforms sometimes, and in workshops. And I had this question, like, why they didn't live together? Because both of them, they are looking for a new home. So since they are both moving, why not be in the same place? And I asked them once, because in the back of my mind, I knew why, because they don't want to, because they have different personalities. And when I asked them, they also said that Milad says it in the film, that he wanted to be totally free. He wants, like, there's this contrast. He's looking for a new home, but he doesn't want to be attached to the home where he was also. Like, it's a bit like it has this two layers.
Did they also have different reactions to you, your idea of making a documentary about them?
Yeah, totally different, because like it wasn't very easy already filming with them, because they have, one of them wasn't maybe not all the time, it wasn't very easy to film them, because sometimes you think that, you know, when filming your family and filming your cousins, for example, you think that you know them very well, and you'll expect like this character will say this answer, but once you bring the camera between you and the camera becomes a barrier between you and the character, everything's changed, and it's a whole different perspective. And like, I also learned a lot, like also not also on as a filmmaker, but also on the personal level, is that sometimes I used to get frustrated, for example, if I'm in Berlin and I'm filming my cousins, and he wakes up in the day and he says like, I can't film today, I don't feel okay, or he feels, I don't know, sometimes you wake up and you don't feel that you're okay, I don't know, because especially that I filmed them in a very critical phase of their life. And I used to get frustrated, like, I can't, I'm only staying 7 days here and I need to go back and my visa will end. So I was very worried about this, you know, like logistic stuff, but I forgot that I'm filming a human being in front of me. I'm covering his intimate life, and he's sharing his emotions and his feelings with me. So it's not very easy just to turn on the camera and go ahead, start talking. So I learned that also. It was like, I learned that as a filmmaker, that no, like I need to take into consideration the state of the person in front of me, because in the film they're not anymore my cousins. There's also like they are my cousins, but also characters in the film.
Right, you have to sort of keep that distance in a way.
Of course, yeah. It was like this also was like a big part of the process, just to know when to, because I'm not also the filmmaker filming, I'm their cousin, so I need to play around that. So it wasn't easy, to be honest, from the first time, because I, as I told you, I filmed my family in a previous short film that I made at film school. So I thought that I know what I'm gonna do, and it's gonna be easier. But when I went there to a foreign country to film in Germany, or to film in Sweden, or when I went to Syria, things like weren't easy also on them, and I can't blame them. Like, I want to make the film, but also they are living. It was a very critical phase of their life, so it wasn't easy all the time.
Also, given the nature of your documentary, do you feel that the camera has the power to reveal things about people or things that would otherwise remain unnoticed or unseen?
Yeah, definitely. It's magical, actually, as I was telling you, you expect an answer from a person that you think that you know very well, and once you bring the camera, you not only discover. He's not only saying different lines that you didn't expect. He's a different person. You sense, you get to get in touch with this sensibility, to see him. I think it's a magical process, like seeing someone, especially someone that you know, in front of the camera, and see how he's different. Because in the back of your mind, you know what he's gonna say, and there's the camera. So you want to know what he's gonna say, if he's gonna say what you're expecting or not. So it's a magical process. Yeah, of course it reveals a lot of things. That the camera reveals a lot of the sensibility and the vulnerability of the characters.
And by the way, have they seen the film? What did they think of it? If they have.
Yeah, I always get this question also, like in Q&As. Yeah. They've seen the film, and as they are very, they have different personalities. Also, the reaction was also different. Actually, they watched it. I sent them a private Vimeo link at first, and then we met at the premiere of the film in Rotterdam. So when they watched it before, when they watched the link, they said, Jamil said, I sent him the link, and then I asked him, did you watch the film? And he said, yeah, I only watched half of it. The other half, maybe I'll watch it another day or in 2 hours. And I was like, and I was saying to myself, like, it took me 5 years to make this film. I couldn't understand how you're not watching it fully. And then when we met in Rotterdam, and I knew that he couldn't watch it. It's not that he didn't have the time or he didn't care about the film, but he watched only the first half an hour and he couldn't continue, and then he stopped. But the brother Milad, my other cousin, he told me that he was in tears. It was very emotional, because I think it's like he told me, like, when they say, like, when you die you see the film of your life in front of you, he was saying that I'm seeing footage since I was 5 years old, because I used the footage of his father in the film. And then there's the footage that I filmed, and then there's the footage that they filmed, because sometimes I couldn't be with them, and I got frustrated because sometimes I had work, I didn't have a visa, and I couldn't travel all the time, because during 5 years, a lot of things happen, so you can't be with them all the time. So I used sometimes to record our Skype calls, or to record our calls, or tell them to record themselves. So there's so many different textures in the film. There's my footage, their footage, the recordings, and the footage of my uncle. So seeing all that, this all mix, seeing it on screen, it was very emotional for him, and he was in tears, and he was very emotional. And Jamil didn't watch all of it. He watched it during 2 days. But we met in Rotterdam, and they watched it in the premiere in front of the audience, and it was very emotional also for them. So yeah, I also got two different reactions.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine why it would be a daunting experience to see yourself in a movie. But yeah. Also, you mentioning some of the challenges that you came across. Sometimes we watch films and we forget that that there can be such things as, like you said, the challenges in getting a visa, for example, and just not being able to be with them at all times. They are also things that you come across during the process of making a film such as yours. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, 5 years. You mentioned you were working on this film for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I started, like, I was 25 years old when I started making the film, and I didn't know, like, I didn't know that I was making in the film. It came in a very organic way, because I used to see images of people moving illegally on TV, but I've never imagined that this would happen to the two cousins I used to play with. I was indifferent towards these images. I never had a connection towards these images that I used to see on the TV, and because back then it was a very hot topic. And when one of them told me that he's going illegally. He wants to move to Europe, and it was like a slap in the face, and I was like, I felt the urge, and I had like the, it awakened the instinct of archiving and filming, and then I started filming. I borrowed a camera from a friend, and this is how it started. I couldn't wait for funds or wait for a producer to come on board, so I started all by myself. It's like I'm making a whole movie, and I started filming them. I almost filmed 50% of the film before any producer comes on board, or before I get any fund, because I couldn't wait. It was a very alerting situation. It's either I film it or I lose it. So I chose to film it, and I made my first trip to Berlin. It was a new year, so I filmed there. I filmed Milad there. It was like he's been there for only 4 months, so he was very vulnerable. It was very emotional the first time, because I went twice to Berlin. So yeah, it started. I didn't know if I'm making a short film, a medium length film, a feature film. It started like this. I felt the urge that I want to film, and this is how it happened. Then, after I started filming, I made a small during many months. Not every day, but like every few days, I filmed them. I went then to Berlin. I came back to Beirut, and then I started making a small trailer, and I showed it to some friends. And they started asking me every week when I see them, like, what happened to the film? What happened to the film? And I was like, what film? Then I started realizing that, oh, okay, this is not a joke anymore. people know about it. This is not a home movie. I'm making a film. And this is how the journey started. I talked to a friend that she started editing. We made a small trailer and I started pitching it to some producers. And also, like, it wasn't an easy journey doing that. But this is how it started. It started from, like, this urge of archiving that I think I inherited from my uncle.
I feel like what you're saying is quite inspiring, because it's a call to heed for any budding filmmaker to just start recording, just start filming things, and then eventually, you know, something will come out of it. Because as you are explaining that, I'm sort of thinking that while the film does portray the journey of your cousins as they leave to go to another country, it is also a documentation of your evolution as a filmmaker, as an artist.
Yeah, of course, of course. Actually, putting myself in the film, it was the hardest decision in the film, because I didn't want to be in the film at the beginning. And I made a short film before, a short documentary before, and I was, it was also like a therapy for me that I did it after I lost my sister, that I used to watch these old film, old Egyptian films with. So I was 18 years old when she died, and when I went to film school in my third year, I made a short documentary about that, and it's about like it was about the aftermath of the death of what happens to people after you lose a member of the family. So I've put a lot of myself in the film, and even like I went with it to a lot of festivals, and we won awards. And whenever people talk about it, I can remember your short documentary. I don't like to talk about it a lot, because I feel that personally for me, after many years, I don't know why, I feel that it was very cheesy. It was very direct. So I was escaping. I said in the film, no, not again. I don't want to put myself, because I was afraid to reveal more of myself because of the previous experience. You know, sometimes films are they can help you to heal. They are a way of therapy. So I said in the film, I don't want to do the same. So so I said no voiceovers, no me in the film. I just want to be the filmmaker, the observer. But also, like, it happens a very natural way. As much as you're telling somebody else's story, a filmmaker is telling his own story in any film you make, I think. And if you don't put this, it shows why you're doing this film. And wherever we went with the film to pitch it in development platforms and or in post-production platforms, everybody will ask you this the golden question, why you're making this film. And this, I think this is a very essential question for every filmmaker, that because it shows in the films if you know why you're making, if this why is tackled in the film. And I was escaping that for years. Like, I only added myself in the last maybe a year and a half in the edit. Before, there I wasn't there, no voiceover. But as I proceeded with the editing, I found myself automatically more involved. And there are people that I could strongly relate to, because their story has elements that resemble mine in different aspects. So the film, it became self-reflective. And I'm being someone who always had the idea of leaving the country, but I never had the courage to make this step. My cousin's departure woke something big in me.
Is not particularly, or at least specifically, related to this film, but to you and the current situation in Beirut, where you are calling from, where you are based and are from. And that sadly was the setting of the tragic explosion earlier this year, which I feel that really, quite frankly, has not been talked about nearly as much as it should have. But from the perspective of someone who lives there and the perspective of someone who works in the cultural sector, what's the situation there? How are you perceiving this moment?
Yeah, I don't want to be pessimistic, but wherever you go, wherever you walk in the streets, nothing is the same. Like, people, even they are traumatized. Even if you see them smiling, they are like zombies, acting like like even if they're smiling, there's a, I don't know, there's not, there's a very, the kind of sadness that's here, it's not like it's not physical, it's deep inside. There's this kind of sadness that can't be explained, and we're still processing what happens, because it's because of a negligence. If it was an earthquake, we would understand, but it was you can explain it to yourself. If it was an earthquake, if it was something, I don't know, but it was something because of the negligence and the incompetence of the of our politicians, that for 30 years they only cared about about stealing the money of the from the people, and the situation is really, really, really bad. But I'm working on a project now. It's not a personal film. It's not a film that I make. It's a film, a commission film. So I'm working on it, and I'm excited actually to share it, because it's political, but it's kind of like my way of healing, you know, because I'm making this. I'm putting all this anger and all these feelings and emotions towards what's happening in this film. Although it's not personal, it's not about me, it's not about, but there are some characters in the films, and we're tackling the why all this happened. So I don't know how to explain, words can't explain what's happening, but especially the cultural sector is very impacted here, and everybody, wherever you go, everybody wants to leave. Nobody wants to stay here. And we're bored here of the idea that the Lebanese people are resilient people. We're the Phoenix. No, we don't want to hear that. And I'm totally against this marketing lines that sometimes the West try to say about the Lebanese people. Like we don't want to be resilient anymore. We don't want to survive. We want to live like everybody else. So Lebanon is a beautiful country. The people here, it's a very rich in like diversity, the culture, but we have a political ruling elite that's been ruling the country for the last 30 years after the civil war, and they are the reason behind all what's happening. Their negligence and their incompetence and their silence is the reason behind all what's happening.
You said that the film that you're working on is a way for you to sort of heal. It's a healing process for you, but do you also feel like cinema can be an important tool in a wider context, you know, to reveal things about the world and also to help a specific place like Beirut get through this time?
Yeah, of course. Of course, definitely, especially documentaries. I like to work, I like to make fictions and documentaries. Documentaries, but more specifically documentaries, they now, especially for the past 10 years, they made a lot of social impact on many subjects and many investigations. Many subjects have been tackled, and they made a social impact on many subjects. I watched many films of some subjects that changed the perspective on how people look at the subject after watching the film. So I think now it's the era of documentaries, and you see more interest from the end of people, more interest in documentaries. Everybody now wants to watch documentaries, and the form of documentaries all around the world is changing. Like in Lebanon, what we do, what most filmmakers here do, I don't know why, but this is what we get. Especially the first film that every documentarian make is a film. It's a personal film. It's not, and the filmmaker has a very close relationship with the subject. It's not that you're distant about the subject. So definitely films and especially documentaries can make change and can have a social impact on the society.
All right, Wissam, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Matt. Was a pleasure discussing the film with you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.